And welcome to Angel Answers with Amy Toy. This is a fabulous sunny day in July here in the Western New York area. We have a very special guest, which I will bring on in a moment. He is going to enlighten us about a very revered author that I love to, I've read her books, and I just love this woman. But I have upcoming announcements before the show begins and before we bring our special guest on. On the third, next week, we have a repeat because it's summer and I have stepkids and we have all that wonderful stuff. On the 30th of July, I have the Introduction to the Human Energy Field, and that's Kathy Frankovich. She was on in the last couple months, and she's going to talk about that because we had some input that the show needed some introduction to healing. So she's going to present that to us, and she'll be coming on for a series of topics. The 6th, we're going to have the Archangel of the Month. That's going to be a repeat show. On the 13th, we're going to have Alcoholic Family Dynamics, Roles, and Characteristics. Once again, Kathy Frankovich is coming on. And then I am really, really geared up for this. Everyone's been asking me for a prophecy, you know, show on 2012 prophecies and so on. And I found this really cool author, and it's Jerry Gavin. He's coming on the 20th of August, Messages from Margaret for the Year 2012 and Beyond. He's going to be our special guest speaker, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm just going to tell you what I've booked so far because I do have some things booked till October. On September 10th, I have another author, actually a partnership here, Maureen McGill and Nola Davis, Live from the Other Side. Their book is here. It's really cool. It's a short read. Both our short reads are great books. I'm reading both right now simultaneously. 17th, and Kathy's coming back on for sexual abuse, and we're going to talk about that. And then I am booking some more authors, so that is it for me. Now, without further ado, I'm going to bring on Daniel Sharp. He is a soul coach, which he will explain to us what that is and kind of explain what the work he does. So, Daniel, welcome. How you doing?
Hi, Amy. I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's an honor to have you. You really, you're an old soul. You don't sound like it, but you are. You have an old, you have some soul coaching, which you're going to explain that to us. And Daniel, before we get going with the topic, how did you get into this work? Because it's always good to hear people how they got from point A to point B or up until now.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it all started when I trained as a Reiki practitioner, which was a few years ago when I was, 16 or 17. And from there, really just jumped into the pool of spiritual healing and therapy. From there, I studied massage, I've studied art therapy, and I've studied shamanic healing. And then I came across Denise Lane's soul coaching book in the bookstore one day, flipped through that, and really connected to the processes and the principles that are shared throughout that program, and just kind of trusted my instinct on that and booked a flight and went out and trained with her. So now I'm finally, you know, doing the soul coaching program and getting groups together to bring them through this process. And it's just an absolute delight to see, you know, how much change people can make for themselves through this program. I guess that's the short and condensed version of my travels to where I am at this moment.
Well, yeah, you get a ways to go, but you're on a good path.
Oh, yeah.
Don't let anyone tell you about age. I used to get that. You're so young. You should be enjoying your life. Yeah, well, you know what? When you're
enjoying my life. You know, I love the process.
Yes, you're doing what you love to do, and people don't get that.
Right.
It's like, maybe I like to do the healing work because I'm meeting a lot of cool people, and I'm having fun along the way. I'm not just all study.
Right.
You know? So, Daniel, tell me about your experience. Where did you go in California? And Denise Lynn is, like I said, she's a great author. I love her books. I'm reading her book. If you can see, I think it's called "If I Can Forgive, So Can You," and that's her life history, or you know, her autobiography.
Right.
So, tell me, what was it like to go? Where did you go in California? Tell us how you came to the, you know, what happened, and what did you do, and all that wonderful stuff.
Yeah. So Denise and her husband live in San Luis Obispo, and they have a wildlife sanctuary, actually, called Summerhill Ranch. So that's where I ended up staying for about 2 weeks to train with her and about 20 or 25 other people who are now brilliant soul coaches all over the world. And we really were in this intense, intimate, family-style living environment where we were just coaching each other through all of these processes, where we were learning how to help each other let go of the things that aren't serving our highest good anymore. We were doing past life regressions left and right. We were spending time with the goats and the chickens that were out there. And her daughter, Meadow, actually is an amazing chef and prepared all of our food, and we had a feast three times a day. It was just this brilliant healing experience for everyone involved. Mm-hmm. And really, Denise Lynn is such a delight. She is an absolute star on this planet, and if anyone can get the chance to just pick up really any of her books, they're so inspiring, and they're so moving, and they're really going to get your juices flowing and get you stepping onto a path towards a better life, no matter what process you want to work with. So, it's wonderful.
She is a wonderful lady. She has a great show on HayHouseRadio.com.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's a really, I took her soul coaching oracle card certification course just because I wanted to do it for myself. You know, I think everyone should have their own oracle deck just for your own personal mm-hmm. guidance, just to get in tune with your own internal teacher or your intuitive mm-hmm. self. So, yeah, she is awesome. So,
yeah.
So Daniel, what is actually soul coaching? How does it differ from life coaching? I think there's a difference, but that's just me.
Yeah, there is a difference. You're very correct in that. Soul coaching, kind of in a watered-down form, is similar to life coaching, but it's a process that really encourages you to align your inner life and your inner desires with your outer life. And I think that's a process a lot of people struggle with. We know what we want and we know where we want to go. We don't know how to get there, how to put those two together. And soul coaching helps you step into that by encouraging you to clear your life of any type of clutter you have. So we go through, we clear your mental clutter, we stop you from thinking negative thoughts, and we get you thinking in positive, fun, and creative ways. We clear out your emotional clutter and all of the sadness and the pain and the worry that people hold on to for one reason or another. But when you step onto the soul coaching program, that's kind of your time to say, this is no longer working for me, and I am done with it. And doing that step alone really puts so much power back into your own hands that you can really take your life and shift it 360 degrees. And finally, my favorite part is we get rid of physical clutter. You know, we go through your house room by room. What don't you love? What's not working? What's broken that you're never going to fix? You know, get rid of it. It's taking up space. It's taking up a lot of your energy. Because what happens when we surround ourselves with physical objects that we don't love, we reinforce this idea that we're not worthy of surrounding ourselves with the things we do love. And that ends up bleeding into almost every area of our lives. So we end up working at jobs we just can't stand. We end up in relationships that really aren't nurturing us. And we end up walking this path of really self-sabotage because we deserve better. I like to put that at the forefront of my programs because I see so many people create such change just by getting rid of all of that junk that they don't need. Mm-hmm. And the difference, to answer your other question about life coaching and soul coaching and what the difference there is that soul coaching really allows us to take ancient healing techniques and apply them to the challenges of our modern world. And we're really looking at you, and what do your answers say, and where does your heart and your soul want to go, and what do those aspects of your life want you to know? And life coaching is absolutely wonderful and great, but it is very often goal-oriented. So you pick one goal, one area of your life that you want to work with, and you create the steps, A, B, C, D, how do I get from here to there? And once you reach that goal, theoretically, the the coaching is over. And you have this wonderful manifested goal, but there are still areas of your life that you've neglected to look at. And soul coaching takes a look at all of those areas so that you, A, can answer your own questions about how do I get there and what's going to work best for me, but it also supports you along the way to getting to that goal. So you're nurturing your soul, you're improving your diet, you're figuring out what gives you the most energy so you can keep that process going and not fall into a plateau or a depression within the process that can so easily happen. And that's really, I think, the biggest differences between the two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense, because I was wondering that myself. You know, I have a couple of friends who are life coaches, and, you know, I'm going to have one of them on eventually. But soul coaching, right, to me, is kind of like a holistic approach to different things.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And it pulls on a lot of spiritual aspects, which can often get overshadowed in life coaching, because it's not always the right place for those to be, because other things are being processed and worked through. So during the 28-day soul coaching program, you're working with ancestors and family issues that you might be carrying. You're working with higher self and creating altars that can inspire you. And really, it's very rooted in nurturing the spiritual side of you to help the physical side of you bloom forward into what it is you're looking for.
Hmm. That's interesting. Yes, Denise does, Soul Journeys, is it?
Yeah. Soul Journeys are basically guided meditations that help you, A, relax and stop overthinking the entire process that's going on with you, which in itself is a golden thing to find nowadays. But
yes, you got the in your head, the chatter.
Yes. But then when you're in that relaxed state, what ends up happening is your imagination or your higher self or your guides or whatever you want to call it or label it ends up having a very clear voice, and you end up getting to this really deep and profound place within yourself that automatically just answers all of the questions you think you had, and you suddenly realize you're not as confused as you thought, and you can do much more than you thought. So
that's great. I love that.
They're really brilliant.
Yes, it is. No, I'm not laughing at you. I'm just thinking about sometimes we can just overcomplicate everything, and then it's like, really? That's what the root issue? So I'm not laughing at you. I'm just thinking to myself.
Oh, no, I didn't think you. You're far too sweet to laugh at anybody.
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking about, some of my clients. Anyway, go ahead.
No, so the soul journeys are a very important part of the entire soul coaching program. You theoretically would get one almost every day if you wanted to do it that intensely. So every day. And they're short. They don't need to be any more than 10 minutes, but they can go 45 minutes. It really lends itself well to being very personalized and figuring out what works for you and how much time you have that day to actually sit down and be with yourself. But what's beautiful about them is not only do they mesh up with each of the weeks, so the soul coaching program is split into 4 weeks. And you have an air week, a water week, a fire week, and an earth week. Hmm. And each week has a particular theme. So the first week we're looking at your thoughts and your mental clarity and how can we shift your thinking about life and about the problems you think are too large for you right now. Water week is about the emotions. Fire week is about your passions and creativity and blowing through your fears. And then Earth week is kind of the culmination of, all right, you've done all of this work. You've gotten rid of so much of the stuff that you don't need anymore. Now is your time to do it. So go forth and manifest what you want. And you have the soul journeys for each of those weeks, but then you have soul journeys that can help you with very specific problems that are coming up for you during the process. So now, let's say you're worried about finances, and that's one huge issue for you, which, you know, nowadays a lot of people are. But There's a soul journey to help you release some of those fears and to step into abundance so that no longer becomes an issue for you while you're working to improve your life. And then along the way, you realize that you have a lot of family or relationship issues that you want to heal. There are soul journeys to help you with that. And those become kind of your toolkit to help heal what needs to be healed in the 28-day program. So you end the month with basically an entire new life, and you get to start clean and fresh and go on and do beautiful and wonderful things. And it's such a nice tool to have when so much can come up for you. In life in general, putting the program aside for a second, it's just nice to know there are things to do to stop the worrying and the fear and the overanalyzing. So that's where the soul journeys come in at their kind of biggest and best moments.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Especially, I think, people have been calling me about family relationships. It's funny. Finances, yes, people call. But the family relationships, I don't know what's going on in the planetary stuff, and I don't care. But I'm telling you, there's so much family stuff going on.
Yeah, absolutely. It's tough. There are a lot of dynamics in a family unit, and they get tangled, and they get wrapped around each other, and they get split, and then they get tied back together. And it's such an organic process. And I think one of the, you know, largest gems that I've come to try to understand is a lot of issues heal themselves simply by allowing yourself to be in the moment and not create stories about where is this going to go and what's going to happen here and this is going to be a disaster. And but the family unit, it can be tough, but it's nice to know that there are hundreds of ways to help you heal those issues and really have a healthy family dynamic, which is so important.
Yeah, and I feel like once you change your, you shift your perception of that, whatever's going on in the family, that kind of does a ripple effect. Do you find that to be true?
Right. Absolutely, I do. Actually, when I was training to be a shamanic healer, one of the most profound experiences I had, and that I like to bring a lot of my clients through who do come with family issues, is there's meditations and there are ways to kind of imagine you're going back down your family line. And as you're walking, and if people are listening and actually just want to close their eyes and just imagine this going on now, if you just see yourself walking down a timeline, understanding that this is your family timeline, and you begin to realize you're passing ancestors and you're passing more ancestors and you're going back further and further and further. And at some point, you'll end up meeting one ancestor who says, it's time for this not to be a problem for our family anymore. And just trusting whatever this problem is that comes to you in this moment. And that ancestor will give you a way to heal it. Now, that might be a physical thing that needs to happen. It might be a gift that needs to be given. It might be something that needs to be apologized for. But it also might be something to do right now, in this moment, perhaps playing some music in your imagination. But whatever it is, just grabbing onto that and taking it back down the timeline, stepping further back, closer to this present moment, doing whatever healing needs to be done and trusting that it is working 110%. And as you take your steps back further and further back into who you are today, you're clearing your entire family line, past and present, because that cycle, that family problem, stops with you right now, in this moment. And it's cleared. And even just that alone can shift an entire family dynamic. And your descendants now don't need to deal with that problem because you healed it, and you healed it for your ancestors. And now everyone is happier and healthier and far more enlightened because you just took those, you know, 2 minutes to be part of that. And I do see a lot of people coming to heal those issues, and I do see them working and changing a lot. So I'm glad other healers and people are also tuning into that.
Oh, definitely. I'm one of them. I used to call the functional dysfunctionals my family. That was back in the, you know, now it's just like, you know, they are who they are, and I am who I am.
Right.
You know? And I think you do come back, you know, you reincarnate, and you do say, okay, I'm going to break this pattern, whatever's going on in this family, and it's going to stop, the buck stops with me, the buck stops here.
Right.
That's really, that was a cool meditation, because I got some insight into my family, too, so we've got a physical ailment.
Oh, good.
And you said that, that was
I'm
really,
glad.
Yeah. So
good, good.
Yeah, so what are some other ways? Like, you talked about prosperity and abundance, which is a big thing, like you said, with people. Like I said, family dynamics, I think, is number one lately on the most wanted list of, you know, have being at peace with, you know, your family members without killing them, you know. And second is abundance and prosperity. Tell me, how would you help a client with that? Maybe they're having, maybe, okay, I'll just give you some examples. And, you know, I have a friend of mine who... She's going to be, she needs to be, she's probably tuning in. She's probably going to kill me when I tell her. She's self-employed, and she's starting on the path of being an entrepreneur. And, you know, but she feels she needs to find jobs, you know, part-time jobs, and she keeps getting let go of them. How would you help somebody like that? I'm laughing because she's probably tuning in. I'll get this dance email. Hey, man, I'm going to kill you.
well, hey, you know, let me first thank her, well, and you, A, for just bringing it up and allowing this to be a moment, because I think there are a lot of people who are trying to step on the path of self-employment who also struggle with a similar issue. So it's really kind of a blessing that this came up. But I am a huge proponent. I feel like if you want to see instant change, number one is clearing your clutter. And that's when I say that in this moment, I mean physical clutter. That is what my number one suggestion is for anyone, especially with prosperity and abundance issues. Because what happens is we have the saying, you know, time is money. And if you have clutter and you have junk and you're always looking for things, you're wasting time. And you're not surrounding yourself with an environment that supports you respecting that that time is precious and is worth something. So get rid of the clutter, especially in the office or the room that you work in or would like to start the business in. If you don't love it, if it's not useful to the work you do, donate it. There are so many other people who would benefit from that printer that you don't need because you already have five of them, or the books you no longer read because they are going to learn something from it. And you're really helping someone else's process by donating those things while helping yourself progress along your own path. So that's my number one. Number two is creating an abundance and prosperity collage. And this is a favorite process of mine as well. I mentioned I studied art therapy, so symbols and artistic expressions are very precious and dear to my heart. But to create a prosperity collage, you just get a blank piece of paper, poster board, whatever size you want, and a bunch of old magazines, and you sit down and you set the intention that you are creating a physical representation of every single thing that you deserve and every single thing that you want for your life and for your business. And you flip through the magazines and you start pulling out images that align with that intention. So you might see couches that make you feel lavish and abundant, or you might see wads of cash in some advertisement, and you might see gold or anything that you symbolically associate with having money. Pull those images out and then cut them to fit onto the poster board. Arrange them until it looks pleasing to your eye, and then paste them down. And then you have your abundance collage. The important part here is to hang it in your house or your office and hang it somewhere where you're going to see it every single day. And that process just ends there. It's as simple as that. But our subconscious mind will automatically connect to those symbols because that's how the subconscious works. It communicates in symbols and in colors rather than in language. And so you override any negative thoughts that you have of, I can't do this, or it's too hard, or why isn't it happening now? And you just connect to these images that make your subconscious mind bring up ideas of abundance, of having more than you need, of being prosperous and having a free flow of cash. And you suddenly realize that things start falling into place then. You know, you're suddenly clients start calling you, or you have a chance encounter with someone who does a similar work as you, or who knows how to get you from where you are to where you want to be. And it's important to start saying yes after you put that intention out, because everything that happens from that moment on is part of what's going to bring you to where you want to be. So say yes when that next client calls. Don't come up with any excuses as to why or you don't have the time. Say yes and get working in that area that you want to be working. And then continue to feed your environment with those things that make you feel prosperous, whether it's, you know, good food or good wine or bright colors, whatever it is for you, mm-hmm. you know, infuse your environment with that. Mm-hmm. And just one more is that sometimes these issues come from past lives where we've taken vows of poverty or we've taken vows of service to go beyond our own needs. And for one reason or another, we've taken those vows into this lifetime. Mm-hmm. And that's also another thing I see happening a lot, is there are a lot of healers and a lot of people who used to be yogis or nuns or healers in a past life who put everyone else before themselves. Mm-hmm. And we have that in our DNA for some reason in this life. And we just need to, you know, honor those past lives for what they were, what we did, and what we learned, but realize that we're no longer there. We're not stuck in the past, this life or others before this one, and that we do deserve to be everything we've ever wanted to be. Mm-hmm. So just letting go of some of those past life issues can really jumpstart the entire process as well.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the three biggies for abundance and prosperity that I see.
Yeah, working. Yeah, especially the vows of poverty. And you know, we were talking on the phone last night, this friend of mine, and she's like, "I must have taken a vow of poverty or something." I'm like, "Yeah, you probably did." So she's listening. I'm going to direct her to some Denise Lynn programs too.
Yeah.
Because Denise does, when she does her radio show, I think it's on Tuesdays on Hay House Radio, if I'm not mistaken. I think
it
she
is.
Does,
yep.
She did that, and she cleared out, I did that with her for about 4 weeks. She did something about, you know, vows of poverty or something. I cleared a lot of that mm-hmm. stuff out, and it does work.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yes.
Soul journeys do
yeah.
work. So I think mm-hmm. it's funny she brought that up yesterday. So.
Yeah.
I'm just
oh,
laughing.
And Denise,
cause,
speaking
you know,
of... Denise does have an abundance and prosperity course that focuses all of the attention on those areas and on really jumpstarting your finances. It's also through Hay House, but it is absolutely wonderful. And you get all of the aspects of soul coaching and all of the wonderful things Denise has, you know, learned throughout her life and applied, because she is amazingly successful, and she's kind of, you know, if you want a success story for these processes, you just have to turn and read some of the aspects of her life that she shares, and you'll suddenly realize that it does work, and it can work in ways you never imagined.
Yeah, she's a chance taker, because didn't she marry her husband right away or something? I love that story.
Yes, she... So the story there is she went to a conference and was a bit disheartened in the fact that she didn't feel like she got her money's worth from this speaker. And she brings it up to him at the end of the show, and he goes, "Well, ask the man next to you to marry you. And she goes, okay, and turns to David and says, will you marry me? And they have been together for years now, and they are such a beautiful couple. It is the love that they have for each other just pours out of them. It is lovely. And yeah, it is. I heard that story, and I was like, oh, that is quite courageous of you, because I don't think I would have been able to do that.
I know.
And she followed through with it. He said yes, and they're together now.
Yeah, I think it's been 30-some years for them.
Yeah.
I'm laughing because sometimes when it comes to relationships, especially love relationships, we don't want to open up our hearts and our, you know, souls. And I'm just hitting up all the points, so forgive me. So how do you help someone who maybe wants to manifest a relationship, a partnership in their life, a love, a romantic relationship? How do you help people with that aspect, Daniel? I mean, I'm just hitting all the areas.
No, that's fine. What's interesting there is I like that you bring up that people don't want to open their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
So having energy healing training, with issues like that, I love to work with clients and help them find energy therapies that they can do every day that they feel called to do to help them open their hearts. And I personally believe that issues like that always start with you. So we're going to talk about you. We're going to talk about how you feel about relationships. So we're going to talk about what issues you had in the past and how you want to clear those up. And we're going to talk about what your perfect relationship looks like. And once we have that settled, and once you feel that you are deserving of love, mm-hmm. that's when we can start taking the next steps.
Mm-hmm.
And that entire process really can be infused with any number of modalities. So I think feng shui is really important in areas like that. A lot of people who have trouble with relationships often surround themselves with pictures of, you know, single people or one woman or one man or these depressing pictures. So I really enjoy going through environments with my clients and saying, all right, well, how does this make you feel when you tune into relationships? And if it makes you feel sad or if it makes you feel alone, it's time to get rid of it, because you want that relationship and you need to take responsibility to helping it manifest within your life. Because if you're not willing to open the door, how's it going to get in? So
yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
That is a big one for me. And the other this is just popping in my mind now, so I also want to mention, is that there's a process in the soul coaching program that's called a miracle box.
Mm.
And it's any box you have or would like to go out and buy, and you decorate it with the things you want to see bloom in your life in the next 6 months or in the next year. So if we're talking about relationships, maybe you want to decorate it with roses. Maybe you want to decorate it with hearts and pictures of couples and people holding hands and people enjoying each other's company. And then you fill it with symbols that evoke a sense of power for you and a sense of love for you. So maybe it's some rose quartz or dried flower petals or any number of things. And on the inside lid, you write, everything in here is already true. You close the box, and then you decorate the outside however you want. And then you write, thank you. Thank you, thank you, on each side of the box. And you really thank yourself for allowing these things to come into your life and for allowing them to manifest for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put the box in your closet or in a cupboard, somewhere you're not going to see it. You just hide it away. And what's amazing is that you're not consciously thinking about this box. You're not even looking at it like you do the soul collages. But there is something that happens just by making that box that really unlocks a lot of potential for people. Just taking that moment to throw that intention out there. And then at the end of the 6 months or the year time frame that you've given yourself, you go back and you open the box and you look at what you wanted, and, you know, 9 out of 10 times, clients are going to be awed at how much had actually happened for them. And it was just a simple step, but I think a lot of people try to step over it. They try to ignore the fact that they need to put that call out there, and you need to say, I'm ready for love. Here I am. Let my heart be open. Mm-hmm. And that is the first step, you know, because that allows you to love yourself, which is going to give off this beautiful energy of being able to love other people the way that they deserve to be loved, because we're all, you know, deserving of being nurtured and cared for by another. But we can't do that if we don't nurture and care for ourselves first. So that's how I try to help people get into the relationships they're looking for.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned feng shui. Enlighten us. Some people may not know what that is, Daniel. What is feng shui? What does that entail? And so on and so forth. What is that? And how do you use it in your life?
Right. So feng shui is a form of healing or a form of lifestyle, you could say, that looks to harmonize the energies of an environment. And it comes from China, and there are all of these ways that you can harmonize the energies of your environment. You can rearrange the furniture. You can use what they call cures. Some people might know, like, the foo dogs, little Chinese dogs that stand outside of doorways or entranceways. They're there to theoretically guard your positive chi, so nothing negative can enter your space. And it's a process that really supports whatever changes you want to make in your life, because it goes back to surrounding yourself with the things that evoke a sense of abundance or love or health or vitality and creativity. And you just change your environment however you see fit to draw those energies to you. Mm-hmm. And there are thousands of schools of feng shui. So literally I like to say there's no right or wrong feng shui. If it feels good, it's good feng shui. If it looks right to you and if it clicks, that's feng shui. So just spending the time to rearrange the furniture or change the color of your walls, that's feng shui. Mm-hmm. And it's incorporated into my work through the soul coaching program, through the clutter clearing and through the assessment of each of your rooms. We go room by room of your home and start to pinpoint areas that you might want to enhance. So we look at the kitchen, and does the kitchen make you feel nurtured? Do you think of good food in the kitchen? Do you feel abundant in the kitchen? Because traditionally, looking at Chinese feng shui, the kitchen is the most important room in the house for abundance. So you want to feel rich and healthy when you step into your kitchen. And if you don't, that's okay, because that feeling has helped you in one way, shape, or form, whether or not you realize it. But if you want to change it, and I hope that you do, because you all deserve so much more abundance in your life.
Exactly.
But you just stop and you just think about it. You think, what color wall makes me feel energized? What furnishings do I want to put in my kitchen that make me feel abundant? And you just make those changes. They're so simple, but they're so profound and they're so powerful. And the bedroom is probably the most important room to pay attention to, because it's where we spend most of the time physically. You know, you fall asleep for 5 to 8 hours, or you're going to change, whatever you're doing, you're spending a lot of time in your bedroom. So you want to make sure the energies and the furnishings in your bedroom make you feel warm and happy and have a sense of whatever it is you want to draw into your life. So if you want more intuition, you know, think of colors or bedding that would evoke a sense of intuition for you. Maybe it's purple or white, or maybe it's statues of, you know, an ascended master or Buddha, whatever it is, and allow yourself to put those things in your room. And that's how the feng shui kind of ties itself into soul coaching for me and the clients who go through my program.
Okay. Yeah, because I know Denise mentions that too, you know, especially, you know, like you said, manifesting a healthy relationship, because sometimes we can have unhealthy ones and be holding on to the unhealthy one.
Right. Yes, Denise is, she wrote one of the first books in English on feng shui. So it does have a very strong voice in the soul coaching program that she's put together that we all facilitate. And she has a few books, Feng Shui for the Soul and Sacred Space, are brilliant books to pick up if you do want to really change your environment and kind of raise its vibration. She has beautiful processes in those pages.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she's a beautiful lady. I love her. I love how she teaches. And you know, when people want to come to you, how do you... Do you have to be in their physical vicinity? Can you work with someone in another city? How do you offer your services? You know, this is a global radio, so.
Right. Absolutely. So I can do either or. If you're close to the Boston area, please, you know, come spend some time with me. I would absolutely love it. But I do work with distance healings, with my energy practice, and the soul coaching program does have an online format, which can be done in a group or one-on-one with just me and you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 28 days. You get an email from me every morning checking in, just saying, hey, how are you doing? The progress people make in just a few days always astounds me. So I'm always rooting for that. And I'm like, look at how much you've accomplished already. It's just fabulous. But so every day you get an email from me, you get the processes for that day, you get a positive affirmation to use, and you get a guided soul journey.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like to check in by phone if possible once a week, just to have that, you know, next step of connection with my clients. So I call once a week, whenever is convenient, and just say, okay, like, where are you in the process? What's working for you? Where do you want to go, and how can we get you there? Because I want to see you succeed, and I feel like having a conversation with people is really important during that entire process.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. You want to have that voice interaction. And you mentioned groups. You're trying to, what do you mean by groups? You know, in your city or globally? I mean, how are you doing? And why would you create a group, you know, with people? Go ahead.
Right. So in my city, I put together soul coaching groups, and it's a group of anywhere from 3 to 10 or so people who go through the 28-day soul coaching program together. And instead of having a phone conversation once a week, we meet at my office and we go through one of the creative processes together. So we might do some of the soul collaging together, we might make miracle boxes with each other, or we might just have a group meditation and be able to share, you know, what's happening. And on the online format, what happens is everyone gets the same emails just as they would if they're working one-on-one. But I also set up a private Yahoo group. So you can have conversations with the people in your group, and you can share stories with the people in your group. And then once a week for those programs, we have a conference call. So everyone is on that, and they also get to enjoy the conversation and the fun that happens with the actual speaking portion of it. And I find it's really beautiful to be part of groups like that because there's so much support. And, you know, all of these people are coming together to change their lives, and they all want to see each other step into whatever it is they want. And then you just have all of this inspiration coming from all areas of the country or the globe, and people post poems or inspirational YouTube videos that, you know, just lift their spirits. And at the end of the program, you have this new group of supportive friends, and you can keep in touch with whoever you want or go on by yourself, whatever you prefer. But it is really nice to have the dynamics of other people along the way.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. That's great. Yeah, it is, because, it, you know, numbers, you know, the more the numbers are, the better off I think you are, especially with the group conscience, which is great.
Right.
I feel that that's really, you had mentioned to me, I thought it was interesting when we spoke last week about the 2012 shift. What do you think that entails? Do you feel like it's the personal challenges that we're doing on ourselves that are doing the ripple effect, or what's your opinion about that?
So I personally think it's a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the energies of our universe, let's say, are certainly shifting. And I feel like people are finally butting up to that point in their lives where they're either going to choose to stay kind of grumbled and stuck, or they're going to take back their power and they're going to create something wonderful for themselves. And I feel like what happens is when people choose to take back their power, there is a ripple effect that kind of attaches itself to the universal shift and helps other people call back their own power as well. So it's really so exciting for me because every time I see someone succeed in what they want, I know that that moment goes far beyond them, and that just by helping yourself, you help countless other people around the world, because that love for yourself just imbues the atmosphere. And I really feel like we are headed towards a much happier and a much more compassionate way of living. And it really does all start with choosing to be happy. And when that happens, the world changes. And I'm really looking forward to that time, actually. So.
I know. I see a lot of shifts and changes in my own life and some of my clients' lives, too. And it's just profound. And, you know, that's why I have this radio show, because I want to educate people. And there's different ways of healing or helping you on your healing path. And I think this is one of the most profound ways to do it, the soul coaching and the dynamics. You can really, once you start shifting within yourself, you can, you know, definitely shift other areas in your life, I feel. That's very important. That's extremely important because, you know, you had mentioned shamanic healing. How is that? So you take all the stuff that you have and integrated into the soul coaching, but the shamanic healing, how did you come about that? I'm just curious out of my own curiosity. That's cool.
I learned about shamanic healing from a college course I took called Holistic Approaches to Healing.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent a week during the semester just learning about all of these different approaches to healing. So we learned about herbal medicines, and we learned about, you know, meditation and mindfulness, and we learned about yoga. And I came across shamanic healing, which is a form of healing that ascribes to the idea that a healer, and really actually every single person on this planet, can connect to the world of spirit and can connect to a power animal or a spirit teacher or a guardian angel who is there to help them with whatever issue they are having, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, what have you. And as a shamanic practitioner, I have been trained to not only connect with my own guides, but to connect with the guides of my clients to kind of channel what the spirit world has to say for them and how the spirit world can help them. And it's really, a lot of the work is about connecting to the universal flow of love or light and just taking a piece of that and putting it back into our own energy, or our own souls, because for one reason or another, whether we had some type of trauma or we tried to give it over to someone else, we kind of, for a graphic metaphor, we kind of tore off a piece of our own soul and kind of hurled it somewhere else. And when we get those soul pieces back, we feel like a whole person, and we feel like we have the power to change. And my personal approach is to teach my clients how to do that for themselves rather than be the one facilitating that healing, because I find it's much more powerful to be your own channel and to allow yourself to grab your own soul parts and bring them back. Mm-hmm. So I teach my clients how to go into a trance and how to find their power animal and how to communicate with those spirits who are supporting them along the way, and how to trust that. Mm-hmm. And I try to weave it into the soul coaching program as much as I can, but it is something that is either or as well. But it really is a neat form of healing if anyone has the time or interest to look into it for themselves.
Okay. I think we have a caller. Do we have a caller, Doug?
Hello?
I thought we had a caller. Did you say we had a caller?
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. Hi. Who am I speaking with?
This is Brett from Ohio.
Hey, Brett. How you doing? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Really good. When you brought up the changes about 2012, that's when I knew I had to call in. I haven't talked to you for a long time. And, I've been anticipating a lot of changes this year, and there's been a lot of talk about the cabal being arrested. Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not. Like I said, we're going to have a show in August on the prophecies of 2012, so we're going to have it from the angelic point of view.
My only question is, do you see the mass arrest happening of the bankers and the politicians?
I haven't looked at that, so I really can't answer that.
When that's going to be happening?
I haven't looked at that. So, like I said, when we have the show on August 20th, you can call in then, and we can look at that for you, okay?
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, Brett, take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay. Sorry about that. I was expecting callers, and sometimes it depends, so I'm going to have the show on. But I was talking more on the 2012, the more of the personal transformation that we're going through right now on each of us. And that's why I brought you on, Daniel, because I felt like that would help people on their personal journey and their path.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm a huge, I wouldn't be facilitating this program if I wasn't a huge proponent of it, but it really does help lighten so much of our lives. So, and I feel like in this shift, we're all kind of grinding our gears or chomping at the bit for it to happen. And the soul coaching program can really help us unload a lot of that stress and worry, and which is going to make it an easier transition for everyone. So I'm glad you brought that up. I really appreciate that.
Well, we're running out of time. Where can people find you? I have you on the Angel Answers page on BBS Radio here, where they can find you. But for people who don't have a computer, tell us where we can find you, and so on and so forth. So if they want to consult you about some shifts they want to make in their own lives.
Yeah, that would be great. So I do have my website. It's bostonsoulcoaching.com. And for those who don't have a computer, I do have an office phone, and that number is 781-763-7685. So I'm usually here Monday through Friday and I try to answer as many calls as I can, but absolutely. Oh, and for the computer people, I do have a Facebook. It's a lot of beautiful, fun daily inspiration, so be sure to kind of join my little community there.
Yes, and I am rebuilding my website, so I will link to your website if that's okay in the future. I'll have you on.
Oh, that would be great. Yes.
Okay, great. Well, thank you once again, Daniel. This was very enlightening. Yeah. I really enjoyed our conversation. I learned a lot myself, and I appreciate you coming on the show.
Great. I appreciate you having me. Thank you so much, Amy.
Thank you. And for everyone out there, I will be off next week, and the week after we're having Kathy Frankovich about Intro to the Human Energy Field, and I look forward to talking with you then. May the angels carry you through. Bye-bye.